Karl Anthony Towns is on his way back. What does that mean for this roster and this franchise? Let's ask John Krasinski here on the John Krasinski Show, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Let's get right to it, John. What is the timetable, do you think, at this moment? We're talking here on Monday morning. And how difficult will it be for Ryan Saunders to rejuggle this lineup? And I know that sounds like a ridiculous question, right? It's a bad team. They're losing games left and right. It's not like we shouldn't be worried about what this seventh player, you know, has to do to react to the return of Karl Anthony Towns. But the strange conundrum here is, as they've been out and as they've been losing games, they actually have had some players rise that you want to see still in the lineup or still in the rotation.
Yeah, that's right. It will be interesting to see how Ryan handles some of those rotations, and what does he do with Jaden McDaniels, who's played really, really well? What does he do with Juancho Hernan Gomez, who's another player like Kat, who is still working his way back from COVID, and but was playing really poorly before he got sick? And all of a sudden, you've had McDaniels, you've had Vanderbilt, you've had Jake Lehman start to play well, all in those spots. So how do you get him back in there too? But before we get to that, I think, you know, as you said, we're recording this on Monday morning. Karl Anthony Towns was upgraded from out to doubtful for the Dallas Mavericks game on Monday night, which would lead me to believe that he's maybe only a game or two away from coming back. And we talked to Ryan Saunders extensively about Cat and his progress. So he has been on this long road trip with the team and had the opportunity since he's been gone, or since they've been on the road, to really kind of get some workouts in, start to work on his conditioning more, and try and get back into shape to get himself ready to contribute again. And what Ryan has said is that the biggest challenge that they've had with Karl Anthony Towns and with Juancho Hernan Gomez is trying to simulate some sort of NBA-style, game-style taxing on your body when they've had very little practice time and they've had just very little opportunities to get the whole team together to work out. But while they've been on the road, he has kind of worked out by himself. He has some coaches that are running him through some things. And so that all points to him being back, I think, sometime this week, whether it's Wednesday, whether it's Friday coming up here. Games keep coming every other day. And so he will be back sooner than later. And I think just to get him back in the fold and really start to get an idea of how these pieces fit around him will be just so crucial to evaluating this team. They just have not had their best player available, and that makes it hard to evaluate Ryan Saunders. It makes it hard to evaluate D'Angelo Russell. It makes it hard to evaluate all of these guys. And so you just hope that he is on the brink of returning for 30 games in a row, 40 games in a row, something like that, just to give you a sample size and allow you to make really big decisions on where you're going to go with the future of this franchise.
Yeah, well said. Hey, you can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. Find all the shows at TalkNorth.com, all of our other sports shows and outdoor content. If you'd like to advertise with us, you can reach Karen Cleary at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. You can join advertisers like TSR Injury Law, Manscaped, Knowable.fyi, and Profile by Sanford. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton, and thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. So, Towns comes back. Who's your starting power forward? What's your big man rotation? And does Towns coming back change everything the way we, you know, because let's face it, they played two really good games to start the season. They won two games. They played well in the fourth quarter. They played pretty good defense. And I know that, you know, hey, that's the definition of a small sample size, but it looked like good basketball, and it's been often horrific without him. Can it be so simple that he comes back and fixes a lot of their problems?
You know, I mean, I don't think that they're going to immediately vault into sort of playoff contention with him, because we also have to factor in, I mean, it's going to take him a while to get back to even where he was at the start of the season. And he wasn't the usual Karl Anthony Towns at the start of the season, given everything he'd went through in the offseason. So we have to temper expectations a little bit. But I will say that whenever he gets to optimal Karl Anthony Towns, I do think that the trickle down effect to the rest of the roster with him back is going to be significant because not only when you started this season, not only did you say, okay, the worst case scenario is obviously losing Karl-Anthony Towns. He's our best player. But not only is it you did you take away your best player, but you took away your best player from maybe your thinnest position in the front court. They just don't have any size without him. And so, Naz Reid has played well in Karl-Anthony Towns' absence, but he is not a starting center in this league right now. And so when you're able to bump Naz Reid down from starting center to backup center, that is a position that he is ready and capable of filling right now, immediately. And so then you also look at they haven't really had a power forward, but in Towns' absence, you've had Vanderbilt and McDaniels kind of emerge as quality options there. And they will both look much different when Karl-Anthony Towns is next to them in that front court than when they're playing next to Ed Davis or when they're playing next to Naz Reid. I mean, it just really kind of changes that. This is a team that also struggles to shoot from 3-point range. Karl-Anthony Towns is a 40% 3-point shooter and at a high volume as well. So all of those things kind of conspire to make, it reasonable that when he is back in the lineup, and I said this, I kind of got in a debate with Doogie on Twitter the other day, but if he were healthy the whole time, if he had not missed all of this time, right now the Wolves are 6-17. I think it's absolutely conceivable that they had won 4 or 5 more games with him in the lineup. They have played some really close games. They have kicked away some leads in the fourth quarter that you have to think they would have been able to hold with a go-to player like Towns in the lineup. And so then you're looking at a team that is not, 500, is not above 500 and in the playoff field, but maybe has 10 or 11 wins. And you are thinking about them in an entirely different, kind of lens right now, if that's the case. So anyway, getting him back in the lineup, I do think solves a lot of issues for them. And it will be interesting to see what happens at power forward. I think personally, Jim, I think it's time with where this team is at, with the mountain they have to climb, I would love to see Jaden McDaniels start at power forward next to Towns. He has shown a lot of defensive chops early for a 19, 20-year-old kid. And I think that he would help that way. He doesn't have a lot of bulk, a lot of strength, but he really has good defensive instincts. And he is going to be part of the future of this team and how they kind of start to find their way again and dig out of it. So I think you can make a case for Vanderbilt as kind of a more defensive-minded guy next to Towns, but I really do. If I'm making the choice, I'm saying let's put Anthony Edwards in the starting lineup, let's put Jaden McDaniels in the starting lineup, and just go and let them all play together and see what a Cat, Russell, Edwards, Beasley, McDaniels lineup looks like. I like the possibilities there. I like the versatility of it, and I like the long-term play in trying to salvage something this year by developing them and getting them ready for next year and the year after.
I love that idea. I'm not going to debate with you because I love that idea. Vanderbilt has proven he's an NBA rebounder. That's nice, but I don't know how much more ceiling there is to reach with him. McDaniels, what I like about McDaniels is he's young. He hasn't grown into his body yet, but he has a feel for the game. He has skills. He plays defense. He has wingspan, but he has a feel for the game. He's composed. He seems to play well situationally. I really think that he's got a chance to be good.
I agree with you. And here's the other thing, and it's hard to tell, from watching on TV or not being in the locker room a lot, but I have spoken to coaches and I've spoken to people around this team, just kind of about the team dynamics. And one thing that you can even see while they're playing, and then you hear it kind of validated behind the scenes, is that you just watch the way that Edwards and McDaniels carry themselves. And you can even put Naz Reid in this group a little bit too. But they are guys who have some swagger to them, but also I think that they are really not enjoying taking their lumps right now. And like they don't like that they're losing. And I think that there are some guys on this team who have given in or given too easily when things are not going their way. Whereas you got some dogs in Edwards and McDaniels and Reed to an extent, and a few of their other guys that I think can kind of instill a different sort of competitiveness and a different sort of fire. And they sure they're going to make mistakes. They may not always win these games. They may do some, just some head scratching things and make some, weird passes or take some shots that they shouldn't take, but there just is a different sort of vibe with these guys, and McDaniels is absolutely in that group of guys who know what's can see what's going on, and the more opportunities they get to learn how to influence it, I think that's going to be better for the long run for this team from a culture standpoint, from a competitive standpoint, and just from an overall feel of, can you see some sort of light at the long end of a long tunnel here? And I think that's the way to really instill it and make that light get a little brighter.
I love the way we use language in sports. You call somebody a dog, you could mean complete competitor or a complete piece of dung. The word bad, it can mean, oh, bad man, or he's great, or it can mean he's just a bad player or guy. I always loved talking to baseball scouts because they'd say, oh, we think this guy could be a guy for us. And then you'd talk about somebody and say, oh, he's just a guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, context is key in all of these things. And so, yes, I am using dog in the complimentary and positive end of things. There are definitely other times where I've used dog with this team and others that has the negative connotation as well. So, in the first half of that Oklahoma City game, there was a bunch of dogs on the court in a bad way, and then you saw the different dog come out of them in the second half, and they really started to kind of bite back and at least get into the fight. And so, yeah, it can go different ways within a season, within a game, sometimes within a half, depending on how that things go here.
Let's talk about our favorite dog. We got Steve Terry from TSR Injury Law. We've been working with him and his firm for a long time now. And just remember this, 612 TSR time. That's all you need to remember. 612 TSR time. If you are injured and you need representation, they will take care of you. They will not charge you unless they win your case. They win a lot of cases. You can go to TSRinjurylaw.com. You can fill out a free case evaluation and check out all the cases they've won, how they go about their business, how they use their trial practice space that we've visited in their offices in better times. But again, all you really need to remember is 612 TSR time. Also want to thank Manscaped. John, tell us about manscaped.com.
That's right, Jim. Support for this show is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. You and I, Jim, both have the Lawnmower 3.0. It's super easy to use. It fits right in your hand perfectly. The one thing that I like is it's safe. Like it's a sensitive area you're working with down there. And so what you want is a tool that you can go down there and have the peace of mind that you're not going to have any cuts, you're not going to have any scrapes. It's going to be very easy to use. You can use it in the shower. It has very quiet motor, 7,000 RPM quiet stroke technology. Let's not forget, it's got an easy charging stand, so you can charge it up and it'll be ready to go. A battery that lasts up to 90 minutes, so you have plenty of time. You can take your time. You don't have to be in any rush when you're using it. And so you can get 20% off and free shipping on a Lawnmower 3.0 with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com.
So, how are you feeling about D'Lo right now?
Oh boy, there's just so much. This is such a complicated conversation because you look at what he can bring in an ideal situation to the table is exactly what they need. We saw it on Friday night in Oklahoma City. It was a team that was not playing well, but at the end of the game, he got the shot that he wanted and he drilled it. And that was enough to hold off a team that they should have beaten by 10 or 12 points easily. But when you see this team go into offensive slumps, of which there are many of them, throughout the course of a game, they often have hard time putting the ball in the basket. D'Lo can get buckets. Like, he can get to that elbow jumper. It's very reliable. His shooting from three has been 38-39% for most of the year. They need those things desperately, and he does bring that to the table. On the flip side of it, there are times where it's clear that this team is not competitive and does not have an edge when he is out there. And sometimes it's shot selection, and sometimes it's just overall body language. He is supposed to be a leader of this team, and I don't know that that he really provides the type of energy and the type of vibe that they need a lot of times to kind of get into these fights, because they are undermanned. They are less talented than a lot of the teams that they're going to be facing. So you need someone that is going to fight you. You know, Ja Morant is a fighter. De'Aaron Fox is a fighter. Like, there's guys that will just, that you go into it, and whether they win or lose, you know that they're going to make it painful on you. And a lot of times D'Angelo has not done that. And I do think that there is a disconnect between what he wants to do and what he thinks he's best at, and what the Timberwolves, with their system, what Ryan Saunders and Gerson Rosas have installed as kind of the philosophy, what they want to feature. And so I think there's a bit of a battle of wills here going on. And I think it manifests itself in negative ways more often than not right now. And so I don't know how that gets resolved, but there's no question that one thing that the Wolves had hoped was that when they acquired D'Angelo Russell, that he could be the guy to be sort of their main leader, their vocal guy, their, I'm going to grab this game by the throat and I'm going to take it type of a player, even when in the times when Towns would be out for an injury or whatever other reason. And what we have learned about D'Angelo and about this team without Karl Anthony Towns is that it doesn't look like he has that in him, that I'm going to carry this load type of a player. And so maybe it'll change when Karl Anthony Towns comes back and they can really play off of each other and things will work well. But if you thought you were getting a 1B type, you know, carry the franchise type of a player, so far we have not seen that from D'Angelo Russell. And I think that's been a disappointment.
Yeah, it's disappointed me. I like you said, he's had good games. He has games where he scores. It just doesn't ever feel like he's going to be, speaking of dogs, your lead dog. You know, it feels like he is a complimentary player, and you're paying him a lot of money to be a complimentary player. That doesn't mean it would, but as you said, it doesn't mean it won't work out if he gets to play off Towns, or if, you know, we consider him their third best player behind Beasley, or even if he ends up being their fourth best player behind Beasley and Anthony Edwards at some point. But just during this time, it has been a little disappointing.
Yeah, and the part of it I think that is difficult for the Wolves right now is that you could be right that maybe it gets to a point where maybe Beasley belongs in that number two role. And I don't think Beasley's a number two player. He's having a great season. I don't think he's a number two guy. But, you know, maybe it's, you know, maybe Anthony Edwards ascends to that role eventually. Russell still has the ball in his hands. And so he's got the challenge that he has is, when do I look for my own shot? When do I get others involved? And I thought the game against Oklahoma City, the game against Cleveland, you know, there are times where we go through the fourth quarter and, you know, I think the game against Cleveland, Anthony Edwards, like, didn't have a shot in the entire fourth quarter. And Malik Beasley might have had a two or three in the final 5 minutes of a game. And that's where, you know, if Russell is just rolling, if he's got 35 and he's carrying it, okay, like, just go to work, D'Lo, and break these guys down and make it happen. But so far, He's had, I think, one of the big issues has been his ability to raise the level of play of his teammates and to keep them rolling when they are rolling. And so, sometimes he just really forces things, and he kind of tries to draw fouls on the perimeter and sneak in, sneak in a 3-point shot or things like that. And when he is knocking down shots, I mean, it's a tremendous advantage for this team because he can really, really do that. But when he is not knocking down shots, that is when it's harder to see him bringing a plus presence on the court. And again, when that's what you want out of your max players. I mean, whether it's Karl-Anthony Towns, whether it's LeBron James, whether it's any number of lead max player guys, that you have to be able to do more to help the team than just hit jumpers. And so far, when that jumper has not been falling for D'Lo, he has not been able to influence the outcomes of games in a positive way, in any other category. And so that's where you look and you say, man, we need more from him. And I'm sure Russell would say, hey, we need more from our coaching staff to get me in the right positions to make those plays. We need more from the guys around me who are either super young and still figuring things out, or just kind of mediocre players. And he would be right about that as well. But when you are making the big bucks, when you are getting that contract, the more of the weight and the responsibility is going to fall on your shoulders. And that is just the name of the game. And so far, he has not done enough to help them weather the storm when Towns has been out. And they need more from him. They need more from a lot of people, but they need absolutely a lot more from D'Angelo Russell.
After this break, let's talk about the coach on the sideline and the supposed coach on the court and how things are going for those two gentlemen. I do want to tell you, use the promo code HOOPS, HOOPS, to get 20% off subscription to Knowable.fyi.
With Knowable, you can learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace through audio. Learn about performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle from NBA All-Star Chris Paul, or how to launch a startup from Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian. Knowable is accessible on your phone and on the web, and each audio course is broken out into individual lessons, usually lasting around 15 minutes. You can explore at your own pace, and each class is supported by downloadable materials, lessons, recipes, and more. As a John Krasinski show listener, you can get an annual membership to Knowable for 20% off. Get unlimited access to every Knowable audio course right now. Just download the Knowable app or visit knowable.fyi or download the app and use the code HOOPS for an additional 20% off.
We'd also like to tell you that our colleague Michael Russo has been using Profile by Sanford. He has lost a lot of weight. He's feeling great. We highly recommend Profile by Sanford.
You've heard me talk about Profile by Sanford a lot. I've lost a lot of weight. I'm feeling just so much better about myself. I've learned a ton about food and what I'm putting into my body. But what I love about them mostly, besides the customized meal plans and the one-on-one coaching for a healthy lifestyle change, is that they really supply much or provide much needed support during these tough times like the holidays. Go visit profileplan.com and connect with a location nearest you. You tell them that Michael Russo sent you and they'll hook you up. But I highly, highly, highly recommend Profile by Sanford. It's just working for me and nothing usually works for me. I go up and down all the time. So go visit profileplan.com.
So, I think we've had, I don't think we've had exactly the same thoughts about Ryan Saunders, but probably they're in the same ballpark where, I can't say I've loved what I've seen this year, but I also want to see what he does with the healthy Towns before any final judgments are made on him. But then the other day, you watched them just give up, what, 88 points or something to a
83,
bad
yeah.
Oklahoma City team in the first half, just play no defense at all. And I just don't know who else to blame for that other than the head coach.
Yeah, look, it's that game was the absolute Ryan Saunders kind of conundrum, because I think that for the bulk of this season, whenever anything went wrong or whenever a game was lost, there was immediately calls for Ryan Saunders' head, and I thought that was unfair. And in a way, you look at, for me, I looked at the Oklahoma City game on Saturday as sort of this microcosm of the Ryan Saunders experience, because in the first half, they were not ready to play. They were terrible defensively. It was an abomination. The Oklahoma City Thunder are 28th, were 28th in the league in offensive efficiency, and they scored 83 points in the first half. Mike Muscala from Roseville, decent player, but he looked like Larry Bird. It was 7 for 7. They could not make an adjustment. They could not recognize in the moment that this guy was rolling. Let's make sure we stick a little closer to him. And he just crushed them for 22 points in the first half. And you look at that, and you looked at that performance, and you say, boy, you know, this is the kind of performance that gets coaches fired. I mean, that's what it looked like there. It looked like a team that had given up, that was not, you know, not ready, and all of, and nothing could be done to stop it. Then you get to the second half, and whatever was said at halftime, they played a great second half. 37 points allowed. Naz Reid comes out of the gates, scores 11 points in a row. They play really good defense. Now, they did not win the game, and we can debate some of the strategic moves down the stretch that either that may have kind of contributed to the loss a little bit. But in the end, when you look at it, A, Naz Reid got an unbelievably good look to tie the game and go into overtime, and he just missed it. A possession or two prior, Jake Layman had a wide open three in the corner, was just, you know, set on a tee there for him, and he missed it. And if, you know, so there was good coaching and good strategy that got those shots, and they didn't go down, and so they ended up losing. But they to see a team sort of really come back from the depth that they were in at halftime, you do have to give the coaching staff some credit for doing whatever it took to rouse them and get them into it. So there have been, you know, some absolute big time errors and mistakes on Ryan Saunders' part. There have been some good stories. Jaden McDaniels is a coaching and development story. Naz Reid is a coaching and development story. You know, Jared Vanderbilt as well. Like, these coaches are doing good work with some of these young players and developing them. But you do see game management, rotation things in the fourth quarters that are real marks against Ryan Saunders. What I've said all along, Jim, and what I do, you know, still feel comfortable in saying is I don't know that Ryan Saunders is a terrible coach or a great coach. He's probably somewhere in between, but I want to see him have a chance with Cat coming back here soon and give him a couple of weeks to see what that looks like, because everything that they have built is all centered around Karl Anthony Towns. And this whole vision of a Towns-Russell pairing to bring this team into playoff contention was has not come to fruition because they played 5 games together in a calendar year. So I just want to see a little bit of sample size with a Towns and Russell back, you know, pairing, how that looks, how they play, how it trickles down to everyone else before you make the ultimate decision to just say, this is not the guy. And so I, you know, many fans who are bloodthirsty right now and want his head will not want to hear that. But I just think that's the right thing to do, just given a lot of the roster issues that he has had to deal with since he's been coach.
And the other thing is, I understand that Timberwolves Nation is beat up and angry and has been for a long time, and they see a game lost that they think should have been won, or somebody on the bench when they should have been in the game, and it's easier to react to that. But are we really in a rush here? I mean, are things going to just dramatically change if you elevate an assistant coach? Is the whole, you know, is the entire organization going to be changed with, I mean, you might as well play it out and see what the team looks like with the way it was originally constructed, which was all these people are complementary pieces around Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah. And look, we know how the NBA operates, Jim. When you can't fire the players. So if things are going poorly, you fire the coach. Now, one thing that we can deduce from Ryan continuing to be the coach through all of these struggles is they believe that he is their best option right now. If they thought David Vanterpool was going to absolutely be the difference maker in what happens on the court, then Ryan Saunders would have been fired already. And that doesn't mean that David Vanderpool can't be a great coach or won't be a great coach eventually here or somewhere else. But right now he is the defensive coordinator, and you know they've been playing better defense of late aside from that 83-point half. But this team has had a lot of struggles that way too. And so it's clear that Gerson Rosas knows his staff and knows what he has there. And so if he thought that what they needed most was a new voice, was a new direction, was a new philosophy or whatever, new approach, that move would have been made. I think by not making the move yet, what it tells you is that what they believe they need most is Karl Anthony Towns. And so maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, but that's, I think, what it really comes down to. You know, coaches in the NBA are fired at the drop of a hat. We've seen it happen here. We've seen it happen all over the place. And so I just think that there is a belief that they think that Ryan can be the best person for this job, and that they think he deserves to coach with Karl Anthony Towns on the floor before they make a decision that he isn't that person. And you know, if they thought a simple wave of the wand and an installation of David Vanderpool in as the head coach was going to fix all that ails this team, I think it already would have been done. And so that's another factor in looking at the context of this situation.
Good stuff from John. I was going to bring up Ricky Rubio. I think we'll save him for next week. Maybe he'll be shooting better by then. I won't have to beat up on him so badly. But we got to the things I really wanted to get to today. Thanks again to Manscaped. Promo code is athletic. Noble.fyi. Promo code is hoops. Thanks to Profile by Sanford. Thanks as always to our longstanding sponsors, TSR Injury Law, 612 TSR Time. Again, if you'd like to join our roster of advertisers on this show or across the network, you can reach Karen Cleary, former Twins executive, now working for us, with us. You can reach her at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. Thanks as always to our producer, Brandon Morton. And we will be back to talk to you next week. Hopefully we'll be talking about Karl Anthony Towns on the court.